is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Nature's Pavilion. Nature's Pavilion is a natural food market and vitamin shop located at 564 Route 23 in North Pompton Plains, New Jersey. You can go to their website to get tons of information on a healthy lifestyle by visiting www.naturespavilion.net. Again, that's www.naturespavilion.net today.
Hi, this is Sean Yoakum, Program Director for Rock Out Loud. The Hope Saves the Day on Autism Radio. Thank you, Paul, and the Autism Radio team for all you do for families and programs like ours. Rock Out Loud is an alternative music program for children with special needs. Whether it's playing a drum solo, ripping a guitar riff, laying down a bass lick, tickling the ivories, or wailing away on a microphone, Rock Out Loud will definitely provide every child with an experience that rocks to a different beat. If you know someone who may benefit from our program, visit our website at www.rockoutloud.net. Thank you.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, master chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with us today. It's been a while. It's great to have you back. We have a great topic for everybody today to talk about, and it's our social media question of the week that we're getting back to. We want to discuss about verbalization, about if your child was non-speaking and then became speaking. And we asked, what do you think was the most helpful tool in making this happen? And we wanted to share your experiences with us. And I know Lynn has a few different experiences as well. And we just wanted to also talk a little bit about, in general, what the statistics show about many nonverbal children that with autism have overcome a lot of severe language delays. Many parents of children with autism have been told, you know, obviously our child isn't speaking by the age of 4 or 5. They're likely to ever do so. But now researchers are finally saying, and this is you know, scientific studies that have been done on this too, and now we're going to also, you know, Lynn will share some of the experiences from families themselves. But these are studies that were done, and they took 500 children in the Journal of Pediatrics, and they found that they took 500 children ages 8 to 17 diagnosed with autism with severe language delays at ages 4. And at age 4, their language delays range from not speaking at all to using single words or phrases without verbs. And the researchers found that the fact most of these children did go on to acquire language skills, actually they said nearly half, 47%, became fluent speakers. And over two-thirds, 70%, could speak in simple phrases, actually.
Right.
And then the researchers also went into some factors that might predict whether a severely languaged child that's delayed with speech would ever, you know, develop speech. And what they found out, that most children who did so had higher IQs assessed with nonverbal tests and lower social impairment. And actually, they said that was very surprising that the researchers found a child's level of repetitive behaviors and restricted interests did not affect the likelihood of language development. So it is kind of very interesting. There was a PhD, Geraldine Dawson, actually highlighted about a lot of language acquisition, especially the role of nonverbal cognitive and social skills, and it also suggested that targeting these areas in early intervention will help promote language. So it is interesting, and they're doing a little more, you know, scientific, you know, studies now with, you know, language. And it's important because I know, you know, being a parent of a non-speaking child myself, you know, we want to know, you know, is there ever a chance? Is there a possibility? And there is. And I know, Lynn, you have a few to share with us, too.
Yeah, I had somebody who said the child was nonverbal. They used homemade version of the Montessori lesson, movable alphabet, so he could visualize the words. Also was an early typer for sentence. Yeah, so that was for sentence construction, AAC, LAMPS, Words for Life, somebody else said. This is different things. I've never even heard of some of these things. But, you know, I think and that's the other thing we're going to talk about, I guess, is there are different methods to, you know, speech therapy. But it seems like different things work for different children. One wrote speech therapy and PECs, talking devices. And another one wrote speech therapy and consistency, use picture PECs and lots of repetition. And those were the people that wrote in to me that their child was nonverbal and then started speaking. So those are, and they're all completely different ways of getting their child to speak. So that's interesting in itself.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, there's actually 20 different therapies they have, ideas for children with autism that they use, and speech therapies, therapists, I should say. They have 20 different ideas to use that they try to get children to talk. You know, and that's why I use the term non-speaking now. And believe it or not, Dr. Stephen Shore was on the show a few weeks ago with me. He kind of opened my eyes to that term because I used to use the word nonverbal a lot, and I don't use that anymore.
Right.
Because I say non-speaking because there's other ways of communication that, you know, they're still communicating verbally in other ways, whether it's sign language, it's using an iPad app or whatever, they're still expressing communication. So I use the word non-speaking now. So he kind of opened my eyes to that. So I try to use that because, you know, we're so used to using the words nonverbal all the time.
Mm-hmm. And nowadays there's so many other ways that they can
communicate, right.
In the iPad.
Exactly.
And right. And I remember when Michael was, my son was really little, they had said right away to us, he's a good communicator without having to speak, which was kind of a problem. And it is even now, like he can communicate his needs without having to use words, which, you know, is good and bad, you know.
Sure.
But there are some, you know, but of course it's frustrating. But
no, it is.
For the most part, we can understand what he needs without him having to say anything, you know. But of course, today the big thing is the iPad, which, Autism Radio, we have a program where we provide the iPads for communication with kids, and it really is a huge, huge help hearing the repetition of the words. Of course, we have the ABA, the MASH trials, prompting and chaining, involve high levels of adult control, repetitive periods of drill and practice. The next approach they said was a naturalistic approach. This approach attempts to get the clients to initiate communication rather than casting them always in the responder role. That was interesting. Another approach emphasizes functional communication rather than speech as a goal. So there you go, functional communication rather than actually speaking as a goal. And then we've got developmental, individual difference, relationship-based model, which is also referred to as floor time. I think you said your son had tried that, Paul.
Yes.
With the, you know, symbolic interactive communication shared through play gets the child sometimes to become verbal. There's just so many different methods, like you said. And then we have the augmentive device, which before the iPad, if you remember way back when, I think we had this for Michael. It was sort of similar to an iPad, but the iPad came out, and then now everybody uses the iPad. But it was like this big device that you could use, and there were pictures, and kids use that to communicate. And if speech is not present, communication need not wait for it to develop. So that's another way of. And then we have the, which you and I and the autistic community knows as PECs, which means it's actually just a simple word of saying pictures. Is a teaching a single word represents by means of exchanging a picture for an object, and then moves on to building a sentence structure. So some of them have those sentence strips. I don't know if you remember, or if you still use them for Jonathan, or we have them for Michael as well. Where they can say, I want, and they pull a picture of what they want, and it tells the person what they need, and it communicates their wants and needs. And a lot of the behaviors go away. I noticed this with Michael and with other kids, that some of the behaviors and the frustration, once they are able to communicate in any way, is so helpful. I mean, just so helpful. No matter what you can get your child to do, is a huge, huge step in getting rid of the frustration level. The other one is manual signs, like you were talking about sign language, as a frequent communication modality for children with ASD. And the professionals had told us early on they didn't want us to use sign language with Michael. They said it didn't, they really didn't promote it as far as developing his speech. And then later on, I realized that it was a way to get through to him by me using it to him, for him to understand what I was saying. So I just to throw that out to people, don't dismiss the sign language thing. I mean, it's used for babies. With kids who have good fine motor skills, it's definitely an option. And a lot of people do take to the sign language. The kids do pick it up. I had a girl that we went early on, and I saw her at the gym. I thought she was deaf, and she wasn't deaf. The mother said, no, she's autistic. She just completely, everything was signing. She completely signed everything she needed and wanted, which was just amazing to me. The mother had taught her herself. Mm-hmm. So not to discount that.
Sure.
And like we said, there's all different. Video modeling was another thing. I don't know if you've ever tried that. We did try that when Michael was younger. But they do say that kids respond to that. I haven't found success, but I know parents who have, where you watch the kids play with each other and the child watches the video. For some reason, they can kind of repeat what they see on the video, or they're more interested in watching kids speak to each other. And that's, you know, that those were, I think, the suggested method, you know, the suggested methods that they, that we think we should use.
Sure.
You know, and like we said, however, we've seen the central problem for students with high functioning autism and Asperger's concerns not the forms of language, but its use in social contexts, particularly with peers, and we've seen that. The naturalistic approach discussed, such as script fading and video modeling, go some distance to address this issue. So that may be something that some high-functioning children might want, parents might want to use with their kids. Provides what comes closest to the comprehensive program for teaching conversational skills to this population, because they can see it used in a naturalistic approach with other children and see, you know, I think it's so hard for them to understand slang or not full complete sentences, and that's something that they really struggle with. So I think that was really the different ways that we can get children to
sure.
speak. And like you said, you just spoke to somebody the other day who had a child who just spoke at started speaking at 7. I've heard of parents telling me yep. at 10 they start speaking. I mean, it's crazy. You just don't know.
No, I know someone at the age of 14, they started speaking.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, I was like, you know, that was pretty incredible.
Right.
When I heard that
right.
story, you know, one of the things, and I was talking about the 20 ideas for children with autism, and this is something that, you know, a lot of parents probably don't know, Lynn, and this is probably important information that could be helpful. But really choosing the right speech therapy approach for the child depends on many factors, including the child's age, developmental level, their learning style, their personal interest. And basically this list was put together to help you understand a little bit. For instance, if you have a young child, like early childhood speech, many children with autism are first, you know, diagnosed obviously in early childhood. And it means it's very essential time to build obviously their language skills, and intensive speech therapy can help build a lot of meaningful interactions. And these are just some general ideas. In a nonverbal or non-speaking child, you can try working on animal noises rather than words. Many children with autism have an affinity for animals, and this can build an emotional connection, like using toy barns, animal trains, or any other toy that might interest your child. Also, more is important, word for functional communication, using swinging or another favorite activity is a great way of encouraging the child to try this. Swing the child for a moment or two, and then stop on the swing and wait for the child to make the more hand sign or say the word more.
Right, right.
It's another, you know, another tidbit. And these, you know, these were all made up by professionals, so these are just some of the many, but these are like the main ones. Another one they use, you can place your favorite toy or food item just out of reach of the child within view. The child must gesture or ask in some way in order to get the item. You want to encourage your child to take this communication to the next level. such as going from leading the adult by the hand to verbally even requesting the item. For many kids on the spectrum, its routine is very important, as we know. You want to build the conversational routines to help encourage the language. A good example is you can place the child at the top of the slide and keep them from going down, or him or her from going down the slide, and say, ready, set, and wait to the child to say go. And when the child says go, you reward him with a slide, you know, him or her down the slide. So that's one, you know, great method they use. And one of the hallmarks of autism in early childhood is that children on the spectrum may not, you know, turn towards their names. And obviously this is essential, you know, for communication skills. So, you know, we're going to reward the child with a small treat or favorite activity every time he or she turns when you call them. So that's, you know, one for early kids. Now, when you get a little older, you have the preschool speech therapy ideas. You can insert yourself in a child's play and take turn every now and then. For instance, if your child's playing with a car ramp, take the car from him or her and put it down the ramp, and then encourage the child to say, my turn, and get the car back. Another one they use, further encourage turn-taking by using a game the child especially enjoys. Many children on the spectrum are highly visual, so a game like memory may be a favorite. Taking turns in a game like this will help your child prepare for conversational turn-taking. You want to practice phases and strategy that the child may use or interact with their peers. This may include combinating or shared activities such as playing with blocks or using a sensory table at school. Uh-huh. They also use model common pretend play games that preschoolers enjoy using age-appropriate language skills. An example would be like playing house or playing restaurant, playing a grocery store, pretending to be a doctor or a veterinarian. If the child's familiar with any of these routines and the associated language, he or she will be more successful with peers. And they like to do things like practice shared attention skills with games like I Spy. I don't know if you remember that one.
Uh-huh.
To do this, you want to stare at something obvious and have the child guess what you're looking at. And it helps the child with the conversational perspective of talking. And then as the child gets older, like elementary school speech, they do work on, you know, labeling feelings. They use cartoon drawings or stories to help the child identify how the character is feeling or suggest appropriate language-based responses for that feeling. If your child has a favorite book or character, you could draw on this interest to illustrate this concept. Teach the child to ask questions. One way to do this, you can hide the toy or object in a bag and have a child to ask what it is. You can expand this exercise by coming up with a social question the child can ask a peer. You can work with two or more children to help facilitate social communication. It may help them work for a script and reward them, you know, with their favorite game or a small treat. A lot of model nonverbal communication with a child is essentially especially important to work on their body posture, such as turning away or crossing their arms. Facial expressions, script interactions that the child may actually encounter, and you try to, you know, provide these strategies to your child to use to succeed.
Uh-huh.
You know, many children, obviously, on the spectrum, they have special intensive interests, and you can use these interests to your advantage to keep the child engaged in the interaction for a longer period of time.
Right.
And you can work on questions and answers, you know, turn-taking, nonverbal communication, and many all, you know, other very important concepts. Now, this one is the last one. It's basically when your child's getting up to teenage years, middle school and high school, you really want to get your child out in the community and observe, you know, how social interactions take place, having the child participate. For instance, if a child watches other place a lunch order or at a restaurant, then talk about how the interaction happened. Move up to having the child place an order. You can work on responding to unpredictable people and interactions and talk about strategies such as active listening or labeling feelings that the child can use to negotiate the situations. They do things like dating etiquette opposed to gender interactions can be challenging, obviously, a lot of for kids with on the spectrum. And as they get older, it's important to work on these language skills needed for these interactions and talk about asking questions and respecting the boundaries. And also practicing things like job interview skills. A lot of kids that have autism have part-time jobs or summer jobs. And a lot of these skills can come in very handy. They use a lot of conflict resolution. Obviously, it can be extremely challenging for a child on a spectrum, and you can use a lot of videos or visual aids and practice interactions to help the child break down the interaction and participate in a more productive and assertive way. So, you know, that's just some of the tips, and I think there's some really good tips there that you can take from it. You know, but it also all depends on where your child's abilities lie as well.
The key is motivation, and well, I just wanted to say quickly, the two things would be motivation, and that's really the key, is to motivate the child and build on their interests, and that's what a good speech therapist or even an ABA therapist or any therapist would work on, you know, is definitely finding something that is motivating for the child and is going to get the child to work towards that goal.
For sure. And, you know, I hope some of those tips help some parents that, you know, they may be just starting their journey out with their child. And, you know, some of those tips can be very, you know, helpful and useful that, you know, and these were put together by, you know, professionals in the industry. So, you know, it's good, some good stuff. So, and, you know, and we just want to, you know, thank obviously all the people that participated in our question of the week, you know, sharing some of their personal success stories and things that they've done. But, you know, it's a journey. You know, Lynn, we always talk about it. It's a real journey, and, you know, it's one step every day, you know.
Yeah, you got to try different things, definitely, for
you know,
sure.
It's about exposure. The more exposure, the better.
Right.
So, but, you know, we'll keep up with anything new that comes out in the community, obviously, on that topic. It's a very, very important topic, and it's very near and dear to my heart as well as Lynn's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know it's an important thing to talk about, for sure. But, you know, we thank everybody for the participation. Lynn, I also want to make sure that everybody knows May 1st, there's a big event coming up. One of the great schools here in New Jersey, TCI, has a Walk for a Lifetime. It's 2016 this year. It's May 1st from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at Verona Park. It's on a Sunday, May 1st. Registration is only $10 per person through March 1st. So now it actually is going to increase a little bit. So if you didn't get your tickets already, it's now $15 per person. Okay. And children under 3 are free. So, and, you know, you can go on to autismradio.org if you go to the events section. It's the top event. And you just click on the link, which is www.tcischool.org/walk. And it takes you right to their page. And you got to remember that TCI is a nonprofit organization that serves individuals ages 3 to 21 plus on the autism spectrum and related disabilities as well. They run a really great program, a bunch of great people. I've had a chance to interview all of their staff, including the superintendent here on Hope Saves a Day and on Autism Radio. So we definitely want to support them and come out for the walk for sure. Hopefully it's beautiful weather. May should be a great time. Right now we're here in March, and the weather is really, really warm. So
yeah.
It's kind of, you know, a little bit warmer than usual, but I'm sure by May it's going to be even nicer out. So, but be sure to go on there and check it out. And, you know, they run a really nice program over there. So we just wanted to get that out for you. And also want to mention, too, our 7th annual golf outing's coming up Monday, June the 6th, okay? And you can go to contact Adina Abswab at 973-785-9200, extension 3392. This is their 7th annual Above and Beyond Golf Classic on June 6th, and the proceeds will benefit Autism Radio. We're really asking you for your support to support NJFCU Foundation, but most importantly, supporting our great organization, Autism Radio. It's at the Picatinny Arsenal Golf Club at 121A Buffington Road in Picatinny, New Jersey. Again, it's Monday, the June 6th. Okay, and you can contact Adia for any information at 973-785-9200, extension 3392. So it's going to be a great event. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, Lynn, coming up September the 24th, 2nd Annual Casino Night. So I just want to get that out there on everybody's calendar. Don't forget. I have a feeling this year we're going to sell out. I really do. We had a very good turnout last year. I know a lot of people are really excited about this event. So you definitely don't want to be blocked out. And we have a lot of great surprise guests that are going to be attending. We don't have an actual list of everyone confirmed, but we do have a pretty impressive bunch of celebrities and athletes that are that are going to come out to support the event as well. So and it's a great night out. It's a great night for a great cause, you know, obviously. And, you know, all the funds help the families and the communities and our programs for the rest of year 2016 into 2017. So this is our big event. So we're hoping that we can get your support. And if you are a business, okay, we're looking for sponsors. We do have plenty of sponsor opportunities out there to help support Autism Radio. So, you know, it's a great way to get a tax deduction, too, for your business. And a great way also to promote your business. Because like us, like I said, we have a radio show here. So we'll definitely give you guys a commercial here on the air and also on our website and also at the event itself. So it's a great way to show, you know, give back to the community and also, like I said, help let people know about your business, too. So it's a great way to it's kind of like a win-win, I like to say.
Great night out, too. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It's a great night out, and we're looking forward to it for sure. And we have a great team of people that are helping putting this all together, and you know, and I thank them obviously for all their hard work for sure. So we're looking forward to it. But Lynn, that's all the time we have for today. And you know, we'd like to thank all our listeners as always here on the program on Autism Radio, and Hope Saves the Day, of course. It's always a great pleasure to bring you guys information and be with you guys every week. And I'd like to thank my co-host, Lynn Glukoff, for also taking out the time in her day to spend some time with us on Hope Saves the Day. And we'd just like to wish everybody a great week, as always. And remember, until next time, everybody, Hope Saves the Day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me, yeah. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day.